We are thrilled that you joined us today. The message you're about to hear is filled with the life-changing power of God's Word. We would love for you to share with us how God has impacted your life through this message. Visit us at riverrochester.com or attend any of our services at the River Church in Brockport, New York. Thanks again for joining us, and we hope that you enjoy today's message.
I preached on the gifts of the Spirit, and I've really been stirred up in this area the last few days. I haven't really been able to stop thinking about it, and I was thinking about it last week, you know, leading up to Sunday, and it's something that's just really been this desire that's been really with me since we started the church, to see the gifts of the Spirit in operation in our service. And, you know, I don't know how many times I've read through 1 Corinthians chapter 12, where it talks about the gifts of the Spirit, and then 1 Corinthians chapter 14, where it talks more about the procedure, I guess you could say, in a church service of how the ministry is supposed to be done. And, you know, there's really kind of, there's like a couple sides of the coin, I guess, in this, to proceed in this type of ministry, because, you know, this past Sunday when I was sharing about it, I was really wanting to share more so with the leadership of our church, you know, because, to be honest, we had been told by like quite a few people that they weren't going to be able to be there on Sunday for one reason or another. And so I thought there was just going to be like, you know, like four or five of us here this past Sunday, and then a bunch of other people showed up, which was great. But I was really intending to encourage our leadership, which obviously I feel like many people here that are here tonight are all, you know, people that have been here, that have been part of what we've been doing the last few years and believe in the vision and what we're trying to do. And I really think that there's something missing as a whole in the church, not like this church or another church, or but kind of churches in general, where the gifts of the Spirit have not really been in operation when you compare it to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Because as I was talking about on Sunday, how it says there in one of the verses that, like, let each person when they come, that they have a hymn, that they have a psalm, that they have a prophecy, that they have. So it's implied, and again in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it's talking about the gifts of the Spirit and how we're all members of the body, and how not every single person flows in the gifts of tongues or interpretation of tongues or prophecy or miracles. Everyone has a different part. And my goal is to see that our body, our local body, our church here, that the people that are really plugged in, the people that have, you know, been here for a year or two or three since we've been going, that you guys aren't just coming to, as I said on Sunday, just to watch, but to participate, to come with an expectancy of how is the Lord going to use me today? Because there comes, and look, I understand that everyone's at a different level in their walk with God. So maybe you're coming and you've been here already for a couple years, but you just need to keep on receiving. And that's totally fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But I feel like there comes a point in a time in what I believe should be every believer's life, where it's no longer just about coming to receive for my sake so that the Lord can work stuff out in my life, but to begin to, Lord, fill me up and equip me to be able to use me. And I feel everyone, right from the beginning of Christianity, should be able to do the very least, which would be to tell people about Jesus, to tell people of how you got saved and tell people of his goodness and be able to lead people to Jesus. But to operate in the gifts of the Spirit requires a different level of consecration, and it requires a different level of trust, even on my part as, you know, the pastor of the church here, because I want to see that people have the freedom to be able to minister to others. But the problem becomes in bigger churches and smaller churches, I mean any church, is that if you just allow everything to go, things get weird, and things get weird pretty quick. And so you, to a degree, have to regulate the way things are done, which is what 1 Corinthians chapter 14 is all about, is Paul talking about, really, in a sense, regulation on how the gifts of the Spirit are meant to operate in the church. And some people, I feel like, or I know of, where they feel that you're supposed to just let everything go and let the Spirit do what the Spirit wants, which is kind of like a bogus statement, because the Holy Spirit uses people. So, the Holy Spirit is the one who inspired Paul to write that chapter in 1 Corinthians 14, and where he was talking about, let everything be done for edification of the church, let everything be done in order. You know, that it's not just like a thing where anybody that comes into the door is able to just stand up and start prophesying and start ministering and start giving words, because like it's been our heart from the very beginning that we see that the people that come here are protected, you know, that we know the people that are ministering here. You know, when we invite friends of ours to come minister, we've known most of them for years and years, and we know like the character that they have and the integrity that they operate in and their love for Jesus. And we don't just invite people here that, you know, yeah, this is Prophet so-and-so, Apostle so-and-so. We have no idea who they are, but they're here to preach to you all. You know, because I want to be able to trust the people that are ministering here, because it's really the heart of the shepherd is to protect the flock, right? So, and I feel that strongly. And so that's the one side of it, is that we want to see that everyone is protected, that nothing strange goes on. But the other side of the coin is that we want to see the gifts of the Spirit in operation, and we want to see people able to come here to the church, able to plug into the ministry, and then be able to be used by it. And to also be able to feel like a freedom and not necessarily a constraint on, well, if I get up and say something, you know, if I go pray for so-and-so, am I going to get in trouble for that? Because like we have on the screen, like every service or Sunday or whenever we put it up, no laying on of hands. And that's, you know, again, because we don't just want anybody to be able to come into the church and do that. You know, we've actually had people that come, and I've shared this here many times, you know, where they've come here and they are saying they're Christian, but they're actually not. They're actually into the occult and all that kind of stuff. And so it's for people's protection that we don't just let it be a free-for-all. But my sincere desire is that as a church, that we build, that we raise mature Christians, that we can trust you, that I know so-and-so, they've been coming here for a year, 2, 3 years, and I know their character, I know their integrity, I know their hunger for the things of God, and I know that the Lord has been working in them and changing them and taking things out and putting things in, and God's working on them, and I can trust them that when they go to minister to somebody, that there's no wrong motives. Believe it or not, I don't know why people would have wrong motives to minister. You know, like for me, I never even really had a desire to get up and preach to people. I'm simply doing it because I feel like it's beneficial that God has given me something to be able to help people, but I'm not up here preaching because I like to stand in front of people and I like people to listen to me. That's actually kind of goes against my own nature. But there are people that actually like the attention, and therefore they want to get themselves, no matter what service they're in, if they can get the microphone, they're going to try and get it. If they can go and pray for somebody, they're going to do it. If they can lay hands on somebody, I mean, there's literally a scripture that says, do not lay hands on people hastily. You know, and that's why it's not my objective every service to lay hands on every single person that walks through the door. I feel like there's many Pentecostal churches where, or even Pentecostal ministers, where they feel like it's their objective to rub every single person's head until they're starting to go bald in the service, you know, where they want to pray for everybody. And I believe that there's times where the Holy Spirit will inspire ministers and lead them to do so, and there's nothing wrong when that happens. But it's never been my objective to simply just go around and lay hands on as many people as I can. I feel like I want to preach the word in a way to create and arouse a hunger on the inside of people. And then when they're desiring more of the Lord, that they'll get hungry enough that they'll answer an altar call and I'll pray for them. You know, and I'm not saying that there aren't times where I go outside of that and go down the row and pray for people, all right? There's times when I do that. But I really want as the church as a whole for us to press in for the gifts of the Spirit. There's that, I think it's 1 Corinthians 14, I think it's verse 13 where he says that you earnestly desire the gifts of the Spirit, that you were zealously desiring these gifts of the Spirit. And it has to be our heart as a whole that we become this place where we are desiring to flow as one body, as one corporate group in unity together. And that it can never be about an individual getting attention. That it's not about, yeah, I got to go up and pray for so-and-so. I got to go up and give a word. It's not about that. That's why Paul strictly said that it's for the edification of the church, not for the edification of anybody's ego. It's so that we can see other people ministered to in a way that they're built up, that they're encouraged, that they're strengthened, that they're healed physically, emotionally, that when they come here, that they know that there will be a pure word given and a pure anointing, and that when they're ministered to, whether it's me or my wife or somebody else that's designated to do so, that they're going to receive with a pure intention. Amen? And so this has really been stirring on my heart because I know personally that I do not operate in all nine gifts of the Spirit. I know that there's things in my ministry that I'm lacking that maybe other members of the body, even locally, could fulfill. And so that's why I've really been praying about this a lot in my own time. And that's why I preached this message this past Sunday on trying to stir the church that we should really be hungering and desiring these gifts to be in operation in our own lives and in the church. And look, if this is something that you really desire, first of all, you can always do this outside of the church. And anyone that's come here and they're new or whatever, and they're like, you know, they wanna operate in their gifting or whatever, but you know, they're new here and we don't really know them yet. It's fine for them to go out to Walmart and pray for people and if they have a gift, to use it. In a church service, though, where we're responsible for what happens here, there has to be some more order. So I want everyone to know that this is not my intention or our intention to control things, because that's where some people tend to think, is that by not just allowing anybody to do whatever they want anytime during the service, that they think that it becomes about man's control. It's not man's control that we're seeking. We're seeking the safety of every single person that's in here and a purity of the anointing. Do you guys follow me? Do you agree with me on that? And so that's our one desire. So I don't know if I'll share just tonight on this, but I'm going to talk a little more about the gifts of the Spirit and seeking God, because I feel so strongly that that's what we need to do as a group, to be able to minister to people more effectively. Because I don't think it should always just be. It wasn't in the Bible, the sense where it was always about one minister coming, preaching, laying hands on people, and then they go home. You read 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and it very clearly tells you that many people, when they were coming together, that so-and-so would get a word, that so-and-so would have a prophecy, so-and-so would have a song, so-and-so would have a psalm, and there was different people that were operating in the gifts of the Spirit. And I really believe that if we want to see a greater move of God, maybe than what's even been seen before, I feel like this has to become a part of who we are. You know, I don't really know many churches today where there is, and again, I said this on Sunday, I think it becomes extremely more difficult for bigger churches to do this. But hey, we're at a point right now where we can, and that's not an issue for us to have, you know, different people operating in their giftings. But so I think that we need to challenge ourselves individually and corporately to grow in this area. And this is something that has consistently been one of my prayers. Ever since, you know, even wanting to go into ministry, it's been one of my prayers, Lord, use me in the giftings. And ever since I've gotten into ministry, even more so. It's become one of my prayers that I most regularly pray is, Lord, use me more in the gifts of the Spirit. Because I really want to see that. And it's not the only thing that matters in church. There's a lot of things that as a church that we have to do, but I feel that it's one of the most essential ones as far as church growth goes. Because when people start finding out that when you go to River Church, you can receive supernatural direction for your life, you can receive a miracle, you can receive a healing, I think that that's going to start bringing many more people to the church. Amen? So I want to talk about our relationship with the Holy Spirit, about being led by the Holy Spirit, and about being used in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So let's start looking in Acts chapter 16, starting in verse 6. We're going to read these scriptures here, and I'll talk a little about it, but you see that the Apostle Paul and the early Christians, they had such a close relationship with the Holy Spirit that they knew so clearly when they were being led to go somewhere, to do something, to pray for somebody. And so I feel like one of the first things that we need as individuals to operate in the gifts of the Spirit is to have such a closeness, a unity with the Holy Spirit, with a relationship with Him. And that really only comes from fellowshipping with Him, from pressing in for it, from seeking Him. But look here in Acts chapter 16, verse 6, it says, "Now they had gone through Phrygia and to the region of Galatia. They were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia." Now, I don't know about you, but I've never been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach somewhere, to my knowledge. You know, I mean, when I feel like preaching somewhere, I go out and I start preaching somewhere. What I mean to say is that it seems like these guys knew something that I don't know yet. That these guys had a relationship on a deeper level with the Holy Spirit than I do as of right now. And I mean to change that over the course of my life. That I desire that I could know from the Holy Spirit, like, hey, I want to go here to minister, and the Holy Spirit forbids it, because who knows, maybe He has different plans. All right, let's go on. Verse 7, "After they had come to Mysia, they tried to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them." You see that? There was such a closeness that they had with the Holy Spirit that they were blocked from going to one place because the Holy Spirit didn't allow it, and then that they were blocked again because the Holy Spirit did not permit them to go to this place. And it's not that the Holy Spirit came down and like physically stopped them from going. When he's talking about, because God will never, never stop human will. He couldn't stop Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden from committing sin, even when he told them not to do it. God will not force anybody to do anything. So when it says there that the Holy Spirit forbid them, when the Holy Spirit did not permit them, it meant that they had this sense on the inside that their relationship with the Holy Spirit, their communion with Him, they knew that this is not what the Holy Spirit wanted them to do. It wasn't that they physically were stopped or that they actually couldn't go do it, but their relationship with God was so close. And in a way, even flowing in the gifts of the Spirit, our relationship with the Holy Spirit has to become that way. It has to become so close, because you have to be able to decipher what is human motive and what is the motive of the Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will come right here. The Holy Spirit, you'll feel it in your belly. It'll just be like a knowing. It'll be like somehow I just feel this unction, this desire, like this overwhelming desire. And many times it doesn't even make sense. To go pray for this person, maybe just suddenly for you, you just know something about somebody. And without you even realizing it, you might be operating, the Holy Spirit might be using you in the gift of a word of knowledge. And he's revealing something to you about somebody, revealing something about somebody to you so that you can go and minister to them. And so, but it's right here. It's not up here. I think that sometimes we get too much in our mind and thinking that we have to know all the details and we, you know, like, I'll do it, God, if you tell me exactly what to do and exactly what to say. And many times it doesn't happen that way. Sometimes it's like you start out on a path, and as you take that step, then God gives you the next step. And as you start praying for somebody and you say one thing, then he gives you the next thing to say. And you might be in a shopping center. You might be somewhere and you feel like, hey, that person, I feel like they're dealing with sickness and the Lord wants me to go pray for them. And you might just, because you might just be shopping looking for some Oreos, right? Double stuff, or now they got the Omega stuffed or whatever it is. Like, man, how much stuffing are they going to go with? Like, pretty soon there's just going to be stuff and there's going to be no cookie. But anyway, like, you'd be shopping for your Oreos and all of a sudden you just, out of nowhere, you're not thinking about, I want to minister to somebody. You're thinking about, I want to get these Oreos home and dunk them in my coffee and just, like, eat half the container. Anyone ever been there? Can I get an amen? Yeah. All right. So you might be just, you know, going about your business when suddenly you have this unction, this, where it's not up here. It's not in your mind just like, oh yeah, that person, you know, I should go pray for that person because they're in a wheelchair. I should go pray for that person because they're walking with a cane. Maybe that is. Maybe that is the reason you go and you pray for them. And honestly, that's not wrong. It's never a bad thing to go and pray for somebody and see if a miracle happens. But if that's just your only indication that the person is sick and that's the only reason you want to pray for them is because of your knowledge, I'm not saying it's wrong and that it couldn't be the Holy Spirit, but it might just be you. So when you might be looking at somebody that looks totally healthy on the outside, but that indication comes right here that I need to pray for this person and they'll have a miracle. And that comes from a closeness with our relationship with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit did not permit them to go there. They were blocked because their closeness with the Holy Spirit. So verse 8, so passing Mysia, they came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. Now after he had the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. So first, they wanted to go preach the word in Asia. Now when it says Asia, it's talking about Asia Minor there, which is like, what, Turkey, right? So it's not talking about like China, Japan, or whatever. It's talking about Asia Minor. And you see there that they wanted to go preach there, but the Holy Spirit did not allow them. The Holy Spirit had a different plan for them. So you might feel, and I don't know how it's going to happen, but you might feel like, no, I'm not supposed to go do this. And it might not make sense because it might be a good desire, a desire to go preach somewhere and tell people about Jesus just normally, automatically sounds good. But did you pray about it? Did you fellowship with the Holy Spirit about it? Are you being led by the Spirit because he blocked them from going to do something that appeared very good? And then it was because he had a different purpose for them to go minister in Macedonia. And when he goes to Macedonia, this is where he starts the church, the Philippian church, which became a significant church in those days. And he had revival in those churches. And then later, if you go over to Acts chapter 19, let's just start in verse 1. You know what? Let's go to verse 10, and then we'll come back to verse 1. I want to make a point from verse 10. Because we just read in Acts chapter 16 where the Holy Spirit did not allow them to preach in Asia. In verse 10 of Acts 19, it says, and this continued for 2 years so that all who dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord, heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. So first, the Holy Spirit didn't allow them to go preach there because, guess what? He had other plans for them to go preach in Macedonia. But now, a little time goes on, And then the Lord allowed them to go there, and they actually preached there for 2 years until everybody in that region had heard about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So you might feel like this is just strange. I have this desire to go preach somewhere. I have this desire to go do something big for God. I have this desire to do something for God, but I just don't feel peace yet. I don't feel the release to go do this. I feel like the Holy Spirit's blocking me, like He's not permitting me to go there. And it might just be a time. It might be that He wants you to go do something else first, and then you can come back to it. Because obviously, Paul must have been cleared from the Holy Spirit to go preach there if he preached there for over 2 years, right? So, and that comes from, again, knowing the Holy Spirit and being in fellowship with Him and knowing what His plan is for you to do. Now let's go back up to verse 1 in chapter 19. And it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions of Ephesus and finding some disciples, he said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" So they said to him, "We have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit." And he said to them, "Into what then were you baptized?" So they said, "Into John's baptism." Then Paul said, "John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus." When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, and when Paul laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Did you see that? They just got baptized in the Holy Spirit, and right away began operating in one of the gifts of the Spirit. So it's not to say that you can't start operating in the gifts of the Spirit like right away. It's not that you have to wait, all right, I have to go through many trials and I have to go to Bible school and I have to read the Bible 16 times and I have to do all this stuff and I have to whatever. You know, you don't have to do all that to start being used by the Lord and in the gifts of the Spirit. Amen? So they began to prophesy right away. Now there were about 12 in all. And he went into the synagogue and spoke boldly for 3 months, reasoning and persuading concerning the things of the kingdom of God. But when some were hardened and did not believe, but spoke evil of the way before the multitude, he departed from them and withdrew the disciples, reasoning daily in the school of Tyrannus. And this continued for 2 years, so that all who dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. Verse 11. Now God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them, and evil spirits went out of them. So God used Paul to do unusual miracles by the hands of Paul. And I've shared this before, that he used handkerchiefs and aprons. And I think one translation even says towels. So you got some very unholy things that the Lord used to cast devils out of people, to cast diseases out of people. Paul, he's preaching. He blows his nose into this tissue. It's like full of snot. And some lady comes up and says, like, "Hey, you know, so-and-so over here, they're dealing with some cancer." And he's like, "Oh, great, I got a fresh one right here for you," hands him his slimy tissue and says, "Yeah, those cancer demons, they're weak. You just take this tissue, just go slap it on them, they'll be all right." You know what I mean? Another day, Paul's in the kitchen. He's cooking up something delicious, maybe some quiche. I say that because my wife gave me some quiche this morning. That's what I'm thinking about. He's cooking some quiche and he's got his apron on and he's like just like wiping, he takes his apron, he's like wiping the sweat off his head, and you know, he's getting like grease splattered on him. He's like just all messed up. Someone knocks on the door, "Hey, Brother Paul, you know, my mom, she just came down with something real bad. She's not looking good." "Oh, here, no worries, bro. Just take this dirty apron. Take his apron." "Oh, 1 second." Just wipes his forehead one last time. "Sorry, really hot in here." Gives it to him. Goes out and lays it on him. Casts the devil right out of him. You know, so, I mean, I think we give the devil more credit than he deserves. Right. You know, you get some snot-filled tissues, you got some dirty aprons, and you're casting out devils and casting out diseases out of people. You know, it wasn't some, you know, 6-week session where you got to come to the exorcist, you know, once a week and sit down and have conversations with the devil and with the demon and ask him what their name is and what they ate for breakfast and what their family lineage is and where they descended from, like, you know, what part of hell did you come from? You know, that you don't have to talk to them. No, you just throw slimy tissue on them and the devil has to go out. It takes faith, though. You know, that was the thing. Like, honestly, I think, like, it didn't matter if he used an apron, a tissue, or a dirty sock. It didn't matter what he used. What mattered is that when he ministered, he was using faith. His faith wasn't in the tissue or the sock or the apron or whatever. His faith was in the name of Jesus, and that when he prayed for something, that when he said, lay this on this person, something was going to happen. So it's faith. Faith will be mixed when you with the gifts of the Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now, I like this. Verse 13, speaking of exorcists, then some itinerant Jewish exorcists took it upon themselves to call the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, we exorcise you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches. Also, there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish priest, chief priest, who did so. And the evil spirit answers and says, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? Let me pause right there. Let me ask. Do the devils know your name? And if they know your name, why do they know your name? Is it because you've been working with them? Conniving and doing some messed up stuff? Or is it because they know that you carry the power of Jesus on the inside of you? To be honest with you, I don't think the demons would know my name yet. I don't feel like I'm at the level of Paul's ministry that he was there, that he was just sending out dirty hankies and casting devils out of people. But I know that it's possible because Paul did it. And God is not a respecter of persons. So if Paul got to that level, that means any single one of us here in this room tonight can get to that level. If we'll persevere, if we'll press in for it, if we'll seek it. Amen? So this devil speaking through this person says, who are you? I don't know you people. I know who Paul is. I believe that God should know who you are, and that the devil should know who you are. Think about the impact that Paul must have made to have a devil say, I don't know who you people are, but I know who Paul is. Those demons were scared of Paul because he was preaching with such power. If demons can be scared of Paul, they can be scared of John, of Jordan, of Hannah, of Merlin, of Diane. They can be scared of any one of us. They were nervous because they knew that this Paul that preaches, he preaches with power. And when he comes to cast us out, no matter how hard we want to stay inside of our host that we've been tormenting, we have to go. Amen? And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? I think that the only reason that the devil should know who you are is because you are filled with the Holy Ghost, operating in the gifts of the Spirit, and tormenting the devil. I don't think you're meant to be tormented by the devil as a Christian. I think that you are meant to torment the devil. Amen? That you're meant to go and set people free. That you're meant to pray for people and see them healed. That you're meant to minister to them and see their marriage restored and to give them a word and see them encouraged. And maybe before they were suicidal, now they're just full of, and radiating of the goodness of God. Amen? God has a desire to use us in this way. He didn't just create the early church in the book of Acts and give them these gifts of the Spirit and say, here, you guys in the beginning, you guys are going to need these the most, so here, you guys got them. Later on, when later on in the churches, they'll have fog machines, they'll have spotlights, they won't need these gifts. So you use them for now because you're at a disadvantage, you don't have electricity yet. But one day, you know, one day they won't need the Holy Spirit so much, they'll have their own show to do. You know, I mean, no, it's not that way. This is the Holy Spirit, the plan of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, they're for you and for me today. Amen? Hallelujah. So we have to know Him. We have to know the voice of the Holy Spirit. We have to become known in heaven and in hell for being full of the Holy Spirit, for being bold for the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Now in Acts chapter 20, verses 3 and 4, talking about Paul, he's in Greece. It says, and he stayed there 3 months, and when the Jews plotted against him, he was about to sail to Syria. He decided to return through Macedonia, and Sopater and Berea accompanied him to Asia. Also Aristarchus, Secundus of the Thessalonians, Gaius of Derbe, Timothy and Tychicus, and Trophimus of Asia. These men going ahead waited for us at Troas, but we sailed away from Philippi. I think I gave you guys the wrong scripture. Or I just wrote it down for no reason. Oh, I know what it was. I already got ahead of myself. See, I wrote that down because to show that they preached in Asia, but we already went over that in Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 13, verses 1 through 4. Now in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manion, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, "Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work which I have called them." Then, having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, sent them away. So you see here that the Holy Spirit, that He had very specific things for people to do. He had a specific plan for Paul and for Barnabas to do. And I believe that for you and for me, it should be no difference. I feel that God has a specific purpose for you and for me. And you see that the way that they accessed that was that through prayer and fasting and laying on of hands. They were hungry. They were stirred up for the things of God. And I know that you guys being here on a Wednesday night, you're not here because you don't have anything else to do. You're here because you want to be used by the Lord. And I believe that this is the hour of our church to rise up and to actually make a difference in this region. And I know that it's going to take more than just myself. It's going to take more than just my wife. It's going to take more than just a few of us. It's going to take all of us to get hungry and to get thirsty for the things of God, to challenge ourselves, to press in for the things of God, to say, God, I'm desperate for you to use me. Fill me with your Spirit. Equip me with the gifts of the Spirit so that I can go out and be effective for the kingdom of God. Amen? I know that God wants to do big things here in this church and big things in this region. And I know that God is going to use many of us here tonight in a profound way to do this. It's got to take something. It's got to take a dissatisfaction with where we're at right now. I don't know about you, but I always have this sense of dissatisfaction of where I'm at with my relationship with God, in the sense that I know that there's more. That there was a way that Paul accessed the power of God, that he could take his snot-filled rags and send them to somebody and see them cast out a demon, to see them healed from diseases. There's got to be something that we have to be able to do to get to that level. Because it's not going to happen just by chance. It's going to happen when you and I get hungry and desperate and say, God, come and use me. Amen?
Thanks for listening to this message from the River Church. We hope you stay connected with us online at riverrochester.com.